Welcome to Understory, this 27th day of March 2019. I'm Elizabeth Poe. And a couple of weeks ago, the world saw the largest student strike for action on climate change. Up to 2,000 cities worldwide, involving up to 1.4 million young people, witnessed events. Even in Antarctica, there was a support rally from 7 adult scientists. Young people are calling on adults to take responsibility for the dangers we have all been placed in and to act on climate change. As the school students marched a couple of Fridays back, Understory reporter Adrian Glamorgan spoke to a man watching the procession and asking what he thought of the students striking for climate change.
It's wonderful to see all these people, kids out and speaking up for the planet. It's fantastic, yeah.
Did you believe that people care this much before you saw this?
No, I didn't. This is wonderful, and it sends a fantastic message, and I'm very proud to come down and watch it. I actually work in the oil and gas industry. Particularly Australia, I haven't seen the same degree of emphasis that been put into by oil and gas companies here that is put into other overseas and green initiatives, changing their business plans and everything. It's interesting to see this week the Norwegian fund drop Australian oil and gas companies significantly, like a brick.
What do you think the industry will do about the movement of young people?
I hope they seriously listen. This is generation and their generation's legacy, and there is room for all industries. I hope the recent events of Western Australia and stepping in on the EPA was quite interesting. It doesn't quite demonstrate a consistent approach. So,
well, it definitely shows that the Environmental Protection Agency listens to mining companies and even the Premier. Question is whether it listens to science.
I agree. Yeah.
Joe Valentine, long-time peace and environment campaigner, spoke to freelance community radio reporter Andy Payne for Understory.
I'm Joe Valentine, a nuclear disarmament campaigner from 1978 and a former senator for the Greens.
You've been around protests for a long time. You're a grandmother as well. How does it feel seeing these young people out doing this?
Oh, well, it is encouraging because I do worry about my grandchildren and everybody's grandchildren and the grandchildren of these young ones. You know, in another 70 or 80 years, my gosh, what is the planet going to be like? So, you know, it's really important that we are all on this together. Happening. I don't know how many thousand people here, but the atmosphere is fantastic. The young ones are really committed and really keen and really smart. It's really well organised and lively, and there are students from so many schools and the most creative signage. It's just gorgeous.
What do you think, as somebody who's very experienced, you've been in Parliament, you've been in activism, what's the advice that you would give to these kids?
Oh, keep going. Don't give up. If things don't change immediately, don't give up. And feel the power of working together. I think that's what people are experiencing today. They're feeling buoyed by the fact that so many students have come and so many oldies supporting them.
Critics of the march, like Dr. Kevin Donnelly, Australian Catholic University Research Fellow, have blamed biased academics and a lack of education. He said these students were barely literate or numerate. But how much do students really understand? It is on the National Australian Curriculum, in senior secondary school science, but not everyone studies that. Some students, Understory reporter Adrian Glamorgan spoke to at the rally, had learned about climate change. Others had not. Even when students are told about climate change in their courses, the link between fossil fuel burning, rising temperatures, and other extreme weather events is not always made clear, as one-time principal research scientist from the CSIRO, Dr. Denys Angove, discovers sometimes when he goes out to give talks on climate change to schools. Here is Dr. Angove speaking at the Citizens Climate Lobby Australia conference in Perth on Sunday, highlighting that even when some information is being taught, the link with human industry is not being made.
I do a lot of always talks on science, and last year I was invited to give a Understanding Science of Climate Change to Maria High School senior students. There were about 50 students, two classes, and the talk was dead silent. There was no one saying anything, and I'm getting no signals from these. I was getting signals from the three teachers, but I was getting nothing from the children. And I thought, man, I'm blowing this. When it was all over, the bell went bing, and they went. Teachers came up to me and said, "We did not know any of that science that you have given us." And he said, "We will send all the questions to you." So 2 days later, inbox arrives, open it up, questions from students by their teachers from Maria High School. So what I'm saying to you is that the science that I know that's being presented certainly in New South Wales senior students is of a general nature, because no one's prepared to commit themselves to justifying why humans are causing the problem. So we all know why, we all see the global responses, but no one truly understands or has the evidence for why humans are doing this. And what I did was I presented that information. So what I'm saying is that it's not all there. The national curriculum basically stinks. Okay, we need to have more honesty and more real science.
Former South Australian Premier Jay Weatherill, who spoke at the Citizens Climate Lobby conference on Sunday, responded.
Well, there's your answer. It doesn't exist. I must say, I'm surprised to hear that, but if that is the case, then I suspect that the reason it is the case is that people have been unprepared to go there because it's been so deeply politicised. And, you know, I think because we've turned it into a matter of, in other countries it's not a matter of controversy, but in this country it's a matter of, it would be seen as political perhaps to advance those ideas.
If only some students are getting the message about climate change, and even then the full link between human intervention and rising temperatures is not being clearly conveyed, then it is remarkable indeed that enough of the message is getting out to young people outside of school that they are able to fill in the big picture story. You may know that Saturday last week was World Meteorological Day, and tomorrow the World Meteorological Organization Statement on the State of the Global Environment 2019 will be officially launched, based on data provided by National Meteorological and Hydrological Services, along with other national and international organisations. What Understory can report a day ahead of that statement is that the evidence is well and truly in. The last 4 years have been the four hottest on record as the long-term trend continues towards higher temperatures. Ocean heat content is at a record high. The global average sea level continues to rise. In the past decade, the oceans absorbed around 25% of anthropogenic CO2 emissions. Arctic and Antarctic sea ice extent are well below average. Extreme weather has impacted human beings, habitats, and sustainable development on every continent. We are now 1 degree centigrade above pre-industrial temperatures, and there are no signs that we will meet the 1.5 degree target necessary to minimise the impacts of climate change on Earth in the next few decades. We look forward to the World Meteorological Organization statement on the state of global climate 2019 tomorrow, but for many people, especially young people, who already know many of the details, they certainly get the temperature trajectory. Opening the Citizens Climate Lobby Australia conference on Sunday was Bella Burgermeister. She told delegates her own story of coming to act on climate change. Bella helped organise the Student Climate Rally, that protest on Perth streets. And this Sunday, she spoke to citizen climate lobbyists as they prepare for the federal election about what and how she became motivated to act, the impetus and the support.
Wanju Wanju Nija Namapuja. Welcome, welcome. This is Nungat land. Kaya. Nyandru Pinununi. Hello, I'm happy to see you. 3 years ago, my mum introduced me to the world's largest lesson by Malala and the 17 UN Global Goals, and I wanted to help. They felt important for my future and the future of the planet. I just wasn't sure how. I went to Perth for a Millennium Kids meeting and realised there were kids like me, kids who wanted to make changes and help our planet. But I needed help. On the way home from Perth, I had an idea. I wanted to write a book and take my book into schools to let kids know how important the global goals are for our future. The UN's global goals were created in September 2015 General Assembly. A group of 193 countries came together in New York City to decide on what was important to create change and maintain global harmony. These goals have targets that have to be met by 2030. Each goal is just as important as any other, and you can't reach one goal without the others. You can't have quality education without gender equality. You can't have zero hunger without no poverty. For the goals to be reached, everyone needs to do their part. The government, the private sector, civil society, and kids. We need to let adults and kids know about them. After all, in 2030, I will be 24, and I will be a voice of the goals. We are working towards what we want our future to look like in 2030. I've taken my book into schools all across Australia and spoken to students about their experience, about the global goals and climate change, and ways that they can help their community and the planet. It is hard to describe the fear and sense of loss when faced with a bushfire. I remember driving along the smouldering highway right after the town of Yarloop had been destroyed. The smell of smoke was overwhelming, and it was hard to see through the smoke haze. But far worse than this, lives have been lost, and now a whole town is gone. Today, I read that we have just experienced our hottest summer on record. The Climate Council's report, The Angriest Summer, says that more than 206 records have been broken around Australia, with serious bushfires blazing in Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, and Tasmania. Marble Bar in WA recorded temperatures of 45 degrees or higher on 32 days over the summer. Bushfires in our area were few but far between, but now an everyday threat. I remember our radios used to just play music, but now a scary interruption of watch and act alerts, wanting people to defend their homes or to leave immediately. We had more than 10 bushfires blazing out of control in Western Australia in February. I see the weather becoming more unpredictable. There has been a decrease in rainfall, but when it rains harder and faster. Our Aboriginal communities are going to feel the effects of climate change first and worst. Right now, communities are suffering through water shortages, extreme heat, environmental pollution, rising tides, and loss of connection to culture. Despite all these things, our politicians continue to push policies to increase these threats by backing coal. It doesn't make sense. After Yarloop, I decided to get involved in direct action on climate change, talking to other kids around the country about their experiences. Being one of the 5,000 students striking for climate action on March 15th in Perth was exciting, inspiring, and very emotional. I felt very nervous because I was one of the main organisers and an MC at the event. I had no idea that so many other kids felt the same way about climate change. We had over 1.5 million strikers worldwide. We had over 2,000 strikes in over 100 countries. Our demands: no new coal or gas mines, 100% renewables by 2030, and ban fracking in every state. I have spoken many times representing Millennium Kids. I speak up for kids because they are not being listened to and feel powerless. Other kids don't even realise we have a climate emergency or have no clue of what's happening around the world. Some kids feel the issue is too big to help. It scares them not thinking about having a future or the idea of us killing our planet. Our politicians must stop thinking about here and now and start thinking about my generation and future generations. I want what they had, a clean and healthy planet, so I can live a clean and healthy life. Is that so unreasonable? And isn't that worth fighting for? We are giving up our childhood to fight for our future. Will you join us? Thank you.
That was Bella Burgmeister of Bella's Challenge. The Citizens' Climate Lobby answer to climate change is democratic engagement. They are multi-partisan, like this program, solutions focused, courteous, and determined that politicians shake their torpor and act now on climate change. I'm Elizabeth Poe. Thanks to Adrian Glamorgan for production assistance and to everyone on this week's show. You can listen again and share this and past programs. Just search in Google for Understory Blog. Be sure to tune in next week, same time, same planet, as there's always more to explore on Understory.